Well, good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. Welcome again to our Bring Your Neighbor Day. We have been working with a little new sound system this morning, or actually adjusting a sound system, so thank you for your patience as we were working on it here. But it is great to see you all this morning. If you are a guest, welcome. As Brother Balaji said earlier today, truly, you've come to a family. You've come to a family around the world, international, from as far as Moscow, Russia, Sydney, Australia, São Paulo, Brazil, Toronto, Canada, Los Angeles, California, London, England, all teaching the same life, the same doctrine, called to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. You are welcome here this morning. Amen. Today, I'm very excited to preach to you. We're actually taking a little break from our series for our Bring Your Neighbor Today. Before, we've actually been doing a whole series on the book of Revelation. And so we've been breaking it on down, helping people to realize it's not as crazy, it's not as ethereal as you may think, it's actually very straightforward. It is made to encourage the first century Christians, amen? But today, I want to take a break from that, because I just want to speak to all our guests and our friends here today. The title of the message is very simple. It's called, Can You Handle the Truth? And before we get in here, I wanted to show you a little clip. I'm not sure if you guys have seen a movie called A Few Good Men. Have you guys seen the movie A Few Good Men?
Yes.
Amen. Hey, okay. So, if you haven't seen it, the whole story here, before you play it, the film revolves, turn over to John 14, or I'm going to bring it all into the scriptures this morning. The film revolves around the court-martial of these two U.S. Marines who are charged with the murder of another Marine. Because they obeyed a code red order, which is basically, this code red order was a violent punishment that was secretly ordered by the military command. Basically, it was a judgment that the whatever captain or general ordered outside of the legal procedures, he told his men to basically punish this guy. That was outside of the law, right? It's a code red, right? And so one of the most dramatic courtroom scenes in the movie, Tom Cruise plays this Navy lawyer who's questioning the Marine colonel, who's played by Jack Nicholson. Okay? And he's questioning him about the murder right here. And the courtroom scene actually turns into an interesting play on words. Let's see what happens here.
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, that's it right there. You know, what's really interesting about this is that this guy might as well be talking to all of us. He might as well be talking to all of Nigeria. He might be talking to all of Lagos. Because the question is, can we handle the truth this morning? Truth, in and of itself, is one standard. Would you say?
Yeah.
There 2 + 2 = 4. It cannot equal 5. It cannot equal 3. It cannot equal 8. But yet we have over 2,000 churches in Lagos teaching different things. So who's teaching the truth this morning, my brothers and sisters? For all these people who are religious this morning. Sadly, sounds like some people are going outside the Bible and teaching things that aren't actually in there. Are you with me here? For example, where does the Bible say to baptize babies?
Wow.
Where does the Bible say to pray a prayer to be saved? Please show me that scripture.
It ain't there.
Where does the Bible show that Jesus spoke, check like a chakra, mom, send me some mama,
never.
Can you point me to that scripture, please?
No. Different version. That is no
hard. No, please. Because if we're a Bible church, there must be scriptures that are associated with why we do what we do. And the sad thing is that I've noticed since coming here is that a lot of tradition has misplaced the Bible.
Yeah.
And so what people have done is that they've now taken the Bible and they've added prophecy.
Yeah.
They've taken the Bible and now added Book of Mormon.
Ooh.
They've taken the Bible and now added the catechism of the Catholic Church.
Wow.
You see, my Bible tells me that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Which means that if the Bible thoroughly equips you, I don't need anybody else to equip me who claims to now have the word of God coming from him.
Amen. That's right.
But we're going to see what the Bible has to say about that, because I don't want you to take my words for it.
Amen.
Turn over to John chapter 14. Can you handle the truth this morning? You know, it's interesting. As I said to you, it seems like when that guy said, "Can you handle the truth?" I really do believe he could be yelling at Lagos. Because everyone demands truth in almost every area of their life. For example, we demand truth from our doctors, don't we?
Yeah.
When we go to our doctors, do we want to know what the truth is?
Yeah.
Do we want them to lie to us?
No.
Okay. So we want the right medicine prescribed. We want the right operations performed. Amen?
Right.
Okay. How about the courts? Do we want the truth in the courts?
We
want to convict only the truly guilty, amen?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to convict the innocent, do we?
No.
Okay. What about the banks?
Yeah.
Hey. Hey. We want them to manage our money with integrity, amen?
Right.
And with honesty, right? Not all these secret charges and fees that all of a sudden magic. You're like, where did this come from? Where did this come from? Right? So we want it to be told. We want to be told the truth when it comes to the news. We want truth in our relationships.
Amen.
We want the truth in our marriages. Amen, marrieds.
Amen.
We want all. But yet, when it comes to morality, when it comes to religion, well, hey, you believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. You worship where you worship now. I worship where I worship. Hey, listen, you know, you can enjoy it. Religion is like, you know, ice cream, chocolate, vanilla, pistachio. Pick your buffet. What do you want today? Do you want nice music? Okay, go to the Pentecostals. Do you want to be intellectually stimulated with philosophy? Go to the Catholics. Is that what this is about? Or do we want to get to the Word of God? If you're a guest here this morning, you have to ask yourself, where do you get your standard of truth from? Right? Do you get it from the pastor that preaches to you? Or do you get it from the Word of God? Or do you get it from your own thinking? Because here's the thing, family. In the world, you know, coming from the U.S., I've had to preach. My wife and I have been in part of churches from Syracuse, New York, New York City, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California. We've sat down and studied the Bible with agnostics, atheists, all types of people. And what's really interesting is that coming to Nigeria, it's been fantastic. I truly love these people. I'm Jamaican by heritage.
Come on!
In case you haven't noticed, my wife, we're 100% Jamaican.
Come on.
Amen?
Come on.
But what I've noticed here is that being religious is actually almost more deadly than being an atheist.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know why?
That's right.
Because when you're religious, you can be self-deceived.
Yeah.
When you're religious, you can think, hey, because I'm performing these rituals, I have now earned my right before God. Because I know the Bible, therefore I must be spiritual. Would it shock you if I were to tell you that Satan knows the Bible too?
Yeah, I'm not.
Would it surprise you if I told you that was it not Satan that now goes and uses the Bible against Jesus in Matthew 4 to tempt him? I dare say Satan knows the Bible better than you. He even knows the Bible better than me. So if we're not holding to the Word of God, guess what? You will be deceived.
Yes.
Let's read the Word of God this morning, John. John chapter 14.
Let's read the Word.
Let's see what the Bible says here. Where do you get your standard of truth? The Bible reads, John chapter 14, starting in verse 4. Everyone there?
Yes.
We are a Bible church. So let's look on together. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus says, John 14, verse 4. It says, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, doubting Thomas, amen?
Yeah.
"Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, this is important. He goes on to say, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Does it say no one comes to the Father if you know me?
No.
Or if you live through me? This is very important. This is very important. See, to know Jesus is to know the truth. And I think very often people say, well, hey, I know the way, Christianity, yes, that's true. Actually, you know what? I know that it's the truth, but the question now is, are you living the life?
Come on, bro.
Because he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the
life.
Hold your spot here. Turn over to 1 John. I want you to see something here. This is an epistle of John that he wrote later. And let's see what the Bible says here. You know, when I was studying the Bible growing up, I had to ask myself, and when brothers came and sat down with me, teaching me the Bible, for a long time, I was absolutely deceived. I grew up going to churches that never challenged me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, never challenged me to read the Bible, never challenged me to share my faith. Yeah. I was a hypocrite. I was a church musician playing the piano in secondary school, making money. And by the time I went to university at Cornell, I stopped going to church for 3 years because I was tired of just wasting time with people who were doing one thing on Sunday and another during the week. I'm just being honest and open with you.
Come on, bro.
Maybe you can relate.
Yep.
See, some people, they just stop going to church because they've given up hope. They think that everyone's a hypocrite and no one is actually truthful. They don't even trust the people in church. Mm-hmm. You with me here?
Yeah.
Then there are other people that, you know, they go to church, but they're like this. And they sing this song, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they sing to, hold on, I'm singing to God. Are you encouraging one another? No, I don't care about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're singing, they think they're worshiping God, but they're not actually being with other people.
Right.
They're not worshiping with others.
Yeah.
They're all alone. You ever felt alone?
Yeah.
Because you don't really trust those around you? Guys, take a look what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2. The Bible reads, starting in verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we what? Obey his commands. The man, the woman who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That's a bold statement right there. So if I claim to be a Christian, it's not enough to just know that the Bible is true. I actually have to live the life of Jesus. I have to be his disciple. That changed my life. I thought, well, I believe in God. I know the Bible stories better than my Sunday school teacher. I would correct him in class. But what I realized is that if I didn't understand what it meant to really be a disciple of Jesus Christ and live that life, my faith is no better than a demon.
Right.
The demons believe in God too.
Yeah.
And they fear him. Do we? Or are we just putting on a nice cross around our necks to make ourselves feel better? This is a symbol of death. This is to remind me I need to die to my sins every day.
Yes.
Die to my lust. Die to my selfishness. Die to my pride. Die to my greed. Are you with me here, family?
Yes.
What does this mean to you? You know, with us here this morning, I don't know where you are, but I was actually shocked to realize that some people, even here in Nigeria, don't actually believe in God and don't actually believe in heaven and hell. I was shocked. I thought all Nigerians were just very religious. But I've actually found quite a few that are not.
Mm-hmm.
They question God. They question hell. They question heaven. But let me tell you something. Heaven is real, family.
That's right.
Judgment is real.
Yeah.
And I know it's funny how even the pagans understand this.
Yeah.
I remember listening when 9/11 happened. I remember listening to the black box radio of what the pilot said as now the plane is going down. And these guys, who I know they're cursing, doing other things, all of a sudden, God be with us. You listen to these black boxes of, Benji understands this because he works in the airline field. Like, when you actually listen to people about when they're about to die, God save us! Oh, I thought you were an atheist. I thought you were an agnostic. Now they're calling on God. You see, deep down, everyone does know there's God. question now is, how are we living our life to honor Him? I think for the reason why people don't want to accept the good news of Christianity is because they don't want to be held accountable to a moral standard. They don't want to be held accountable to a religious doctrine. So they look at the world, they look at all these intellectuals, and they say, well, look at these guys. They have money, they all know all this stuff, but they don't worship God. So maybe I should do the same thing. Guys, here this morning, I don't know where you are in your life this morning, but I pray that you're at a crossroads. A crossroads where you decide to really study the Bible and apply it to your life. The first point this morning is very good, is this. Acknowledge the truth or oppose the truth. Take a look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're a guest here this morning, we welcome you. And we're honored to have you with us. What's interesting, though, is that I had to realize what truth was in my life. Although I had the Ivy League pedigree, although I had all the different training that made me look attractive to the world, my character was very base. My character was full of immorality and deceit and pride. Take a look at what the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And ask yourself, have you acknowledged where you are so that God can help you get to where you need to be? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Okay, so God has said this, something's going to be terrible, right?
Right.
Let's find out what these terrible things. Surely he's talking about murder and rape and war, right?
Right.
Let's see what it says.
Let's see.
People will be lovers of themselves. I thought he was going to go into war and mass killing. Of course, those things are wicked too, right?
Yeah.
But I think people don't look at these things that are coming up as terrible as those things.
Yeah.
Look what it says. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, come on teens, ungrateful, unholy, without love. That's terrible in God's eyes. Unforgiving. That's terrible too. Slanderous, without self-control. Brutal, not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of
God.
Having what? A form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Verse 6. They're the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women. Brothers, you remember when you used to do that? I do. Who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just like Jonas and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Wow, so when you don't acknowledge the truth, what are you doing? You're actually opposing the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be made known, will be clear to everyone. You know, I read this here, and what do you see when you read this passage? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. Are these not the common values of the world? Is it not? Is this not what people actually take pride in? They want to boast. They want to say, look at what I have. I mean, that's why they dress the way they do. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, abusive. You know, the other day, I was even talking to a friend of mine who was sharing about how people would beat their own family, kick them around. A man would do this to another woman to show that he had dominance over her. And the crowd was cheering the man on. Way to put her in her place. That's a Nigerian man. I'm not saying that they're speaking for everyone. Amen, family? But let's just be honest. Domestic violence isn't exactly the key thing on the police's radar here. When I sit down and counsel people, I hear about beatings. Not here. I'm talking about when I talk to other people. I hear about what husbands do to their wives. Yes, I beat her. He says it as if he just got her some juice. There's no shame. How dare you lay your hands on a woman? Should I lay my hands on you the same way?
Hey!
The people, they lack any sensitivity to this sin. They think it's okay. Guys, this is the common values that we see here. And how does God view them? Terrible. Terrible. You know why? Because this stuff leads now to even worse stuff. You get what I'm saying here? This is where it starts. But you know, we live in a world where people call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5:20. The other day, I was just talking to someone. They're like, oh, yes. You know, and in my church, this church he's talking about, I'm not going to give you the name. But yeah, this church that I go to, yeah, they know, the church people know, that if you're engaged, you can sleep with her because you want to at least test that she gets pregnant, you know. You have to test that she gets pregnant. Because if she doesn't get pregnant, you don't want her. I'm like, are you serious? Like, and I'm like, hold on a second. And the leaders of the church know this? Of course they do. That's why they marry them now. When she starts to show, get them married quickly. The common values, not just in the world, but in the so-called church here in Lagos.
That's right.
And people just say, that's just the way it is. Family, that is not God's church. You see, when you don't acknowledge what the truth is, then you start to oppose it. You may think, celibacy before marriage? Oh, come on. How are you going to know whether she's the right one? Maybe talk to her. Get to know, build a friendship.
I mean,
is that too much to ask?
No.
Guys, this is huge. But people just say, and then they wonder why adultery is 83%. I mean, if you can sleep with someone now, then what makes you think, and you're supposed to have it, what makes you think that they won't sleep with someone later?
That's right.
If you don't have self-control now, what makes you think that you're going to have self-control later? I always tell people, I'm like, wow, maybe we should go to ShopRite and go in and say, you know what, let me see, let me try that soap. Is it good? No, I don't like it. Put it down. Toothbrush? No, I don't like that one. Let me pick another one now. No. Can you imagine? And then people wonder why women are the way they are and why men are the way they are. Yeah. You get what I'm saying here? You wouldn't do that when you go to ShopRite. But apparently, a woman, and I dare say we have amazing women and sisters in this church. Brothers, we need to, let me tell you, and our brothers, we have awesome brothers in this church. And I thank God for that, because we're taking a stand against the world.
Yeah.
That says, we now have got to try it out. What is she, an ox? A cow? Do you need to try the milk before you buy it? Guys, this is the world. And it's terrible. You know, I look at myself and I remember who I was before I became a Christian. I was opposing the truth. I told you this story. I remember a minister's daughter was the best friend of my girlfriend at the time in college. And she came to me, Andrew, you know, should I sleep with this guy? I really love him. I'm like, and I'm thinking, why are you coming to me? I don't know why she came to me. It's almost like God was like trying to make me remember this. For like 17 years ago, 18 years ago. And I was like, of course, I'm immoral with my girlfriend. So I'm sure, why not? Why not? If you love him, sure, why not? Would you believe that literally 2 months later, I studied the Bible and became a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. Woo. I now go back to her and say, tomorrow. No. Her name was Tomorrow. Oh, she's still alive. Tomorrow. Like, I am so sorry. I want to apologize. That was wrong. I was not a disciple. I was not obeying the word of God. She's like, it's okay. It's all right. It's not a big deal. I'm like, Tamar, you're a preacher's daughter. Like, haven't you been taught this? No, I mean, everyone does it as long as you love him.
Wow. Come on.
I mean, we do know what the scriptures say, right, about this?
Come on. You know.
Let us take a quick look here. Amen. Since we're in the Bible, amen?
Amen.
Take a look at what the Bible says in Hebrews. Because, you know, we are such a lustful culture that we got to have deep conviction about these things. And the Bible says here, take a look, in Hebrews, let's see what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Because the problem is, the world really looks down on marriage. They say, oh, ball and chain. Ball and chain? What a privilege it is.
Amen. That's
it is
right.
A privilege to be married to my wife.
All right.
Next August is going to be 13 years. Woo! You know about that? Fellowship of the Ring. Yes. And, you know, I'm the junior compared to some of the brothers in here. It's awesome. But, you know, I appreciate that because there's nothing that, you know, when you're married, you've shown yourself to be a man. A man of self-control. A man of purity. A man of respect. Any boy can get you to bed. It takes a man to get you to the altar.
That's right.
Hebrews 13, verse 4. The Bible reads, marriage should be honored by all. Whether you're married or not married, it should be married by all. Honored by all. And the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Hey. Maybe we should read that in some of the churches around here. Who are telling them they need to go try the girl out to make sure she can get pregnant. Guys. And then, you know, some people have actually come to me and said, Andrew, hang on. Okay, so you mean that as long as they don't go all the way, I can, you know, just go up to a certain point, right? I don't want to be crude here, amen? Well, let's take a look at Ephesians 5.
Amen!
Let's see what the Bible says. Let's have a little sin study right here.
All right.
If some of you are uncomfortable with this, there's a reason why. It's because you're not sensitive to the truth. And because you're uncomfortable with this, you're saying, wow, how is this preacher actually talking about these things on Sunday? I thought he's supposed to tell me about how much God loves me and how much grace there is. Absolutely. God loves you and there's a ton of grace. So don't take advantage of it. Ephesians. What does the Bible read here? I want us to acknowledge the truth. Because here's the thing, guys. If we don't acknowledge it, then guess what we're doing? We're actually opposing God. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see what the Bible says here.
Come on, Andrew.
Ephesians chapter 5. It says here, starting in verse 3. But among you, there must not even be what? A hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you. Oh, you, as long as you love him, it's okay. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. But let me ask you, dear friends, is this what you see in Lagos?
No.
Is this what you see in relationships in other churches?
Mm.
My friends, my guests who are here today, can this be said about your own life?
Come on.
You see, family, I realize for me that if I'm going to really live a life that glorifies God, I got to go all the way. I can't play games with God. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
I can't be like one foot in the world and another foot in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if you do that in a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
One foot in your marriage, another foot in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Would that work?
No.
Absolutely not. And so for us here, guys, today, ask yourself, are you really acknowledging the truth? Here's where, how you know whether you're acknowledging the truth. Are you open about your life? Because if you get what I'm saying right now, if you really understand that you need to acknowledge where sin is at in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then now the question is, are you open about it? Turn over to James 5:16.
Come on, Andrew.
Let's see what the Bible says here. In James chapter 5, we're going to read here, starting in verse 16. You know, if you're a guest here today, you probably noticed that I'm pretty open about my life, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you used to people being this open about their lives? Do your friends talk to you about their sin? Do they talk to you about where they're at? So they can get help? Are you with me here, guys? Why you guys get so quiet? Why you get so quiet? Ushers, let's make sure the ACs are going. Amen, family. All of a sudden, why we get so quiet? Are we afraid to talk about sin?
No.
Are we afraid to talk about, this is real talk.
Yeah.
Not, I'm just going to act like I'm a nice, beautiful, pious Christian who never sins. And I put on a nice smile for you and sing some nice songs. That's not what this is about. We're trying to be holy here, guys. We're not playing Christianity. We don't have time for that. What does the Bible say here in James 5? The Bible says here in James 5, verse 16. It says, confess your sins to
one another.
I'm sorry, say again.
One another.
I'm sorry, you're saying, I'm sorry, not you. The Bible is saying that I'm supposed to confess my sins to other Christians?
Yep.
Other disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. See, if you acknowledge where you're at, then what do you need to do now? You now have to get open and get help.
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. If you are sick, what's the first step you have to do? You have to acknowledge the fact that you're sick. Then what do you need to do? Just stay home and just think about your sickness?
No.
Think about your sickness some more? No, what do? You now go to the doctor and say, listen, I want to get open. Hey, by the way, I got something back here. This one's hurting me. I don't know what's going on here. You want to get open about your life.
Yeah.
Why would you keep it to yourself?
Doesn't make sense.
Does that make any sense whatsoever?
No.
No. You know why people keep it to themselves? Pride.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. What will people think of me if I get open? Guess what? They have the same sins you do.
Exactly.
See, that's the problem. Everyone thinks that it's only they're the only ones who have sin. No, guys, we all have sin.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you're a Christian, there are some sins you do not do.
That's right.
Now, everybody struggles with lust. Everyone struggles with pride. Everyone struggles with deceit, different things, but to different degrees.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me help you understand. As a married man, let's talk to the married brothers here. Married brothers, have you ever struggled with anger? That you can say yes now.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Now, would you now say anger? Does that anger with your wife, whoever, now lead you to murder?
No.
No. Like, you don't do that.
Amen.
You don't go that far.
Amen.
You would never do it. No. Does that anger now lead you to beating?
No.
Amen.
You just don't do at this level.
Yes.
You do not do that. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
You may raise your voice, then you come later, sweetie, I'm sorry, I raised my voice. I'm sorry, I apologize. Because you want to please God. Amen, family.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Brothers, you may struggle with a little bit of lust sometimes.
Yeah.
Someone walks by you. Whoa, streetwalker walking by. Okay. Just look the other way. If she's walking towards you, look at her eyes. She's walking away. Look at the hair. Take care of her hair. Okay. Look at it. Just try to. Just keep your eyes up. Are you with me here? Okay. But you don't now go to her and start asking her for a number, set up time to meet at the hotel, and now commit adultery. Are you with me here? There's things you do not do. But sadly, when it comes to sin today, people are like, yeah, why not? Oh, I just fell into this sin. God will forgive me. There's no desire to be sensitive to sin and stop it before it gets too far. You get what I'm saying here? Ephesians 4, and then we're going to move on. Take a look with me here. I want you to see this, guys. See, the difference between a disciple of Jesus and a religious person is that a disciple of Jesus hates sin. Because they understand, a disciple understands that sin is what put Jesus on the cross. And because we hate sin, we now say, whoa, I want to avoid sin at all costs. I want to be sensitive to that. Right? That's why I don't go that far. Because I'm stopping it before it ever gets that far. Are you following what I'm saying? But in the world, it's like, hey, you sin, God. God loves you, it's okay, just don't do it again. No. You have to learn how to stop getting it to that point. You don't just wake up and, oh my gosh, I'm in someone's bed. This is surprising. How did this happen? How did this happen? I don't understand. I had amnesia. No. There's a process. You look. You lust. You flirt. You talk. You get numbers. You go to the place. You have to break down a lot of barriers for that to happen. Are you with me here? And the reason why people do that is because they're not even acknowledging the truth as they're going along. They're just totally dull to what sin is.
Yeah.
Take a look in Ephesians with me.
Come on, bro.
I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here this morning.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. What does the Bible say here? So it says, Ephesians 4, 17, the Bible reads, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord." Okay, so this is pretty important, right? "That you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." They're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You ever get your heart hard to something? You know when you're like really angry or bitter at someone and you don't want to forgive them? You just like, you just harden your heart. And God's like, no. You do that, you become like the world.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Right? It goes on. It says here, having lost, verse 19, having lost all what? Sensitivity. They have given themselves over to sensuality. Whatever their senses see. What they smell, what they look at, touch, whatever. So as they indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You see, once you get a little, what happens? You want more. Then you want what? More. And then more. Right? Verse 20. "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you've heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to make new the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, guys, unless we're seeking the truth, we're going to be deceived by Satan's lies.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you guys, let's decide to start seeking God's righteousness with all of our heart.
Amen.
Get together with the person who invited you out today, and let's study out the sin in your life. Let's get a plan to get you holy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a plan to start holding on to God's righteousness, God's holiness. Because here's the thing, if we don't acknowledge this truth, then what's happening? We're opposing it. And you don't want to be at war against God. Turn over to John chapter 8. Point number 2. Acknowledge truth or oppose truth. Hold to the truth or fumble the truth. Now, who here plays football? Does anyone play football? Okay. Now, what's interesting here is that you ever see someone fumble the ball? Now they had it, and then they fumble it, right? You thought they had a hold of it, and now someone else takes it. In American football, it's one of those things where, have you seen American football, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, you know when the guy catches, throws the football, they catch it, right? And then now, as they get hit by the defender, what happens?
Yeah.
The ball now flies out, right? Or the running back that's going, he's running, trying to run through, and the defender hits him, bang! And now what happens? The ball comes out. Are you with me here?
Yes.
This is important for us, because if we say that we know the truth, the question now is, are we holding on to it even when life's challenges come and hit us? Are you with me right here? Because sometimes you're like, oh yeah, this preacher, I know this now. I know what the truth is. I'm holding on to it, right? Now all of a sudden, you've forgotten what the Bible says. Right? You get sacked at your job. God doesn't love me anymore.
Wow.
No one cares about me anymore. Tough situations happen. No one cares. Everyone is unloving. All of a sudden, you drop the Bible. As if you never held on to it. Are you with me here, guys?
Yes.
Guys, this is huge. Take a look in John chapter 8. Our brother read it this morning here for us in the welcome. But this really shows us where things are at. In John chapter 8... this is an important scripture that many people don't hold on to, because it says here in verse 31, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him," Jesus says, if you what? Hold to my teachings, you are what? Really my disciples. So what does that mean? There are people that aren't really disciples. That's what that scripture implies. That there are people that are not really Christians. Because they're not really holding on to it. And it says here, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, I appreciate this because you don't really know who you are until you're in hot water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I used to say, my mom used to say before she died, people are like tea bags. You don't really know what they're made of until they're put in hot water. And then all the flavor starts coming out. All that. You know, tea bags all look the same. But you put them in hot water, whoa. Oh, wow. Some people, they respond. Other people, very challenging. Right? You know, I appreciate the disciples of the church here.
Amen.
Come on.
Because, you know, as I think about these 2 points, I'm very encouraged. Because we have a man who's come to be baptized today who acknowledges the truth. And William, amen. And it's powerful because, you know, last week, it's so awesome. I mean, William is here, his dad is here, his mom is here. His sister is here. I mean, God is working. And it's really remarkable because when I think about William, you know, we sat down, we studied the Bible. Tony and the Missions Bible Talk has done a fantastic job. Really building him, met by Olatunde, man. And, you know, at one point last week, he was like, I don't know if I want to go to this church anymore. He had only been coming a couple times. And then he went somewhere else, and they were like, I can't deal with it here. This is just bad. So he left. He's like, you know what, man? I'm turning myself in.
Amen.
I want to hold on to this truth. I acknowledge it. I don't want to fight God, and I want to hold it. I'm not going to let anything take this away from me.
Yes.
I'm very proud of him. Even this morning, he pulled me aside. Bro, I just want to get open about this. And it wasn't even anything big. He's like, bro, I just want to get open.
Come on.
I just want to get open. I just want to have a clear conscience. It happened a long, long time ago. I'm like, bro, that's normal. No, bro, it's fine. But I just want to get open. You see, when someone acknowledges the truth, now they want to what? Get open and confess.
Yeah. Come on.
That's a guy who's been made into a disciple. And very soon, he's going to become our brother. Amen. With the second point here about holding to the truth, this is big for us who are disciples. Because if you're a disciple, you know the truth. You're holding on to it. But what does Satan want to do? He wants to bring sufferings on you now that will hit you. And, you know, if you've ever seen American football, it can be serious. I mean, I remember one time for me when I was playing football, and I played outside linebacker. Well, I played tight end. So, they hike the ball. Hike, right? I'm running. I did my cut this way, came back in this way, right? I shook off the defender, came back in this way, and now I'm turning around waiting for the ball. Now, here's the thing, though. The quarterback, he saw me through the ball, right? Ball's in the air. But as I'm turning now, the ball is coming. But would you believe the sun is right there? Like, the sun is like, I mean, as I'm turning around, the sun is like right in my eyes, but I can see the ball. And so now, in order to get it, I also, out of the corner of my eye, see the safety. It's called this position safety. He's like the last guy who has to defend or else I'm going to score. I shake off the defender. I come this way. I jump now to catch the ball. And all of a sudden, as I'm about to catch it, I feel my legs go out from under me. The guy did a fantastic play. He ran, and as I'm jumping in, he timed it perfectly. I'm running. I'm jumping now to make this like all-star catch, man. I mean, listen, I was smiling because I'm like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. I'm here, and I'm trying, and I have the ball in my hands. The guy now comes with his pass. Bang! I do this flip.
Hey.
In midair. Boom! I'm like, I get up and I go back. And so, I don't know where the ball went, but... And so, then I run to the sidelines, and the guy's like, bro, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm a football player. That's what I do. I get hits. They're like, bro, that was a serious hit, bro. You were up in the air. You know, it's one thing if you're on the ground and you get hit. If you're up in the air, now your body is like just free to get knocked around. But I stand here today and I'm good to get it. But what trials does Satan bring to you that now make you begin to question? And, you know, I think for us here, guys, this is huge because for every disciple, turn over to Matthew chapter 13.
Come on, Andrew.
We got to be careful not to fumble the truth.
Yes.
We got to be careful. Because what Satan will do is he will bring suffering. He will bring challenges in your life that will make you want to forget God. He'll make you want to believe that God is not on your side.
Yes.
And that's a lie from the devil. Take a look here at a very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 13. It says here, we know the parable of the sower. If you're a Christian, you probably have heard this many times. The four different types of soils, right?
Yeah.
You know this passage. One had was hard soil, right? The word didn't penetrate. The seed didn't go through. What was the second one? The rocky soil. It was shallow, right? So it sprung up quickly, right? Then you had the what? The thorny soil. And then you have what? The good soil. Okay, now let's take a look at Matthew 13, verse 16. Verse 18, excuse me. Matthew 13, verse 18. The Bible reads, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path." So if you're a guest here today and maybe you're like questioning God, but you're like, you know what? I like that preacher. He makes some good points. I want to hold on to this. But the problem, though, is that if you now are like, well, I don't know if I... You start reading about, well, I don't know if I understand this. I don't know if I'm humble enough to ask anyone to help me either. So you know what? I'm done.
That's
what people do. People go into church, wow, I was really moved by that. Maybe I should start studying my Bible. Huh? What? I don't know. I know what does Satan do? Takes it and goes. Are you with me here?
No.
Don't be like that today. Then you have the second one. The one is who received the seed that, the seed that was sown on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Wow. Kind of like our brother Olu. Where's Olu?
Come on, Olu.
Where's it? There he is. Olu did a fantastic job playing the drums today. Well done, bro. I see you stepping up there. Olu's only been a Christian for what? A couple weeks, bro?
Like two,
28
days.
Hey, 28 days. 28 days. Come on, bro. But here's the thing. So he's a young guy, right? But look what it says here. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. Uh-oh. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. You see, Olu doesn't have a shallow faith.
Come on.
Olu has a deep faith. Amen, family? That's why Olu was in Williams' studies.
Come on.
Giving his heart, giving his conviction. I mean, it was awesome. I was like, come on, bro. Raise it on up there. Verse 22, the one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it, making it what? Unfruitful. You see, guys, there's a reason why we fumble the truth. We fumble it because, number one, our hearts are hard. We don't understand the Bible. We don't want to understand the Bible. And Satan now comes and takes away the word of God. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two, our faith is shallow. We don't get deep. We don't really get deep and want to apply the Bible to our life. So because it's deep, it's not deep, it's shallow. When trouble and persecution comes now, this church, no. This is too much commitment. I don't have time for this. Right? Then you have what? The thorny soil. The deceitfulness of wealth, job, issues. Now choke the life of the plant. And they now die. But what do we want to be, guys? What does the Bible say here? In verse 23. But the one who receives the seed that fell on the good soil is the man and woman who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You know, it's amazing. to see how God has been working, even here in the Missions Bible Talk. I remember when Tony and I and the other brothers sat down and studied and baptized Olatunde. And then with Olatunde now met Olu and we studied Bible and baptized Olu. And now Williams is coming. I mean, guys, God is just continuing to build right here. We're praying that every Bible talk will be able to do that, guys. That's what we have to remember. Every single Bible talk just start to become fruit. And the disciples are getting baptized. Now they're meeting people. And now they're meeting. And now they're meeting. That's the way God's church needs to be.
Amen.
You with me here?
Amen.
Everyone is a preacher.
Amen.
You may not be a Methodist, but you are. We are preaching the word of God. Amen, family?
Amen.
Let's close out here with the last one point today. Guard the truth or neglect the truth. You know, this is interesting here because very often we're called to really take a stand for our faith. And the Bible reads here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Please turn with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We need to see this. This is very important. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Is everyone there? Remember, we're a Bible church. We got to get in the Bible. Amen, family? The Bible reads in verse 3. Paul here is talking to Timothy, who leads the church in Ephesus there.
Come on, Timothy.
He says, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer." Whoa. So what is Paul telling Timothy to do? He's saying, command certain men. I don't know who these certain men were. But he's saying, command certain men not to what? Not to teach false doctrines. Are you with me? Any longer, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is what? Love. You see, we're not going around here just condemning people and being mean. And no, that's not the truth. A lot of people are just deceived. A lot of people really have a sincere faith in God, but they've been led astray by a lot of false teaching.
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
But here's the challenge, guys. That sincerity does not equal truth.
That's right.
And just because someone is sincere doesn't make them saved.
Right.
Let me say that again. Just because someone is sincere does not make them saved.
That's right.
This is very important. Because we can get all sentimental and say, oh, but they seem like such a good person. I'm sorry, is good the condition to get to heaven?
No. Never was.
It says here, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Wow. So, why do we need to guard the truth, guys? Because people, there are teachers in Lagos teaching false things.
That's right.
Does that scare you? Does that scare you? I can heal. I can heal you today. Okay, why aren't you healing people in the hospital? I mean, according to Acts chapter 8, the Bible reads that the apostles were given the miraculous gifts, Acts 8. Now, they now did miracles by laying their hands on people, but those people that they gave the gifts to could not pass it on. So, if they could not pass on the miraculous gift, then how are there people today still claiming to have powers to do heal people?
Come on.
If the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 that the apostles went healing people everywhere, why aren't there people healing people everywhere here in Lagos?
Right.
Just help me understand. Why is it you must come to my church to be healed? Okay. Well, according to Luke chapter 9, doesn't the Bible say... No, let's turn there. No, let's just turn there. Let's just see what the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. Let's take a look at what the Bible says. Luke 9 verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so who did he give these powers to? The 12, right? Then it goes down in verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people
everywhere.
Everywhere. Is that what you see?
Nope.
You see people healing people everywhere?
No.
Okay, so then my question is this. Either one, they somehow have these miraculous gifts, but are so selfish and wicked that they're keeping it to themselves.
Wow.
Trying to make money off of it. Or two, they actually don't have the miraculous gifts. Does that shock you? Turn over to Acts chapter 8.
Come on,
no, let's just see what the Bible says. Let's just see what the Bible says. Now, what's interesting about this is that in Acts chapter 6, I'm sure you know this, the apostles laid their hands on the seven that now were able to get these miraculous gifts and now go preaching and healing and taking care of people. Are you with me here? One of those seven guys that got it was Stephen. And in Acts chapter 7, he preaches the word, has such deep conviction, he gets martyred. Are you with me?
Right.
Take a look at this now in Acts chapter 8. The Bible reads here in verse 4. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Now, Philip is one of the seven who got the miraculous gifts from the apostles in Acts chapter 6. Okay, hang on. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Because the purpose of the miraculous gifts were to confirm the spoken word. Why? Because they didn't have this.
Come on.
Let's keep reading. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Is there great joy in Lagos?
No.
Well, why not? With all these guys who claim to have miraculous gifts, why isn't there great joy in the city, like the Bible says? One guy had the miraculous gifts in Acts 8, and there was joy throughout Samaria. How many churches are in Lagos? How many prophets and teachers? Hey! And so where is the great joy? Where are people getting healed everywhere?
Talk about it.
Let's just keep reading. Show you the Bible.
Come on in.
Verse 9. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people in Samaria. Samaria, right. So now this guy is practicing what now? He's practicing juju. And he's amazing. He's literally amazing all the people of Samaria. And he said he boasted that he was someone great. He boasted he was someone great. A lot of guys tend to boast here, don't they? They don't boast about God being great. They boast that they're great. Interesting. Okay. Well, then what happens next? It says here, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is a divine power known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. His juju. His sorcery. Are you with me here? It goes on. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Come on, William. Both men and women, Simon himself believed and was baptized.
Wow.
A sorcerer becomes a disciple and gets baptized.
Wow.
You see, it can be done even here in Lagos.
Yes.
And it says here, he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So now the magician is astonished by the real power of God. Are you with me here? Now, look what happens next, family. This is very important to read. And if you're a guest here who's wondering about all this stuff, this passage is very important for you. Verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Who's Peter and John?
Apostles.
Okay. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, of course you understand. God exists in how many forms?
Three.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet all of them are God. They're one, right? Now, is the Father the Son? Is the Son the Holy Spirit? But they're all still God. Are you with me? Right? H2O. Exists in what? Liquid, ice, and gas, steam, right? Is ice steam?
No.
Is steam liquid?
No.
No, but they're all still H2O. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. But you see, most people haven't studied this out. If we had more time today, which we don't, I'll let you know. But you can get and have a Bible study with it.
Okay.
Holy Spirit is very simple. Also exists in three forms. Right? He exists in yours. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You get a baptism. The Holy Spirit in you, Romans 8. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that with the Holy Spirit came on them in Acts 2, which only happens twice in the entire Bible. Acts chapter 2 for the Jews and Acts chapter 10 for the Gentiles. They saw power, that fire that came on their heads. They're able to speak. Bonjour, ça va, ça va bien. How am I speaking French? This is amazing. They were able to speak languages, not chaka 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 chaka, languages that other people now could understand. Are you with me here? Okay, if you question, we can do it. We have a Bible study for that too. Then now, so you have the indwelling, the Holy Spirit in you, receive the baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power came on that, the Holy Spirit came on them. Then you have the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit working through you. In you, on you, through you. Are you with me? Now, what's interesting about this, if you're wondering, what is he talking about? Get together with the person that invited you out. Yes. Study. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Because when you get baptized, you receive the forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So now, when these guys came, it says in verse 15, when the apostles arrived, they're like, they pray like, maybe they're going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit too, like we got in Acts chapter 2, with the power from on high and speaking in tongues and the stuff on their heads. But did it come?
No.
So why do people pray for the Holy Spirit today? People pray, God, send the power of your Holy Spirit down. Okay. They prayed here because they were like unsure. It happened in Acts 2 with the power from on high. And all the characteristics. Fire from high on their heads. Speaking languages. When people talk about speaking in tongues, you see fire from their heads too?
No.
I mean, that's what it says in Acts 2. You can't pick and choose what you want to follow here. According to Acts 2, power came down. Boom. Fire, like tongues, came on their heads. They were able to speak languages they've never been able to speak before. Holy Spirit came on them, and only happened twice in the entire Bible. What's interesting here now, look at what it says next.
Come on, bro.
It says in verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, which was what measure? The miraculous gifts. 2 Timothy 1. That's how they got the miraculous gifts, by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Take a look at verse 18 now. When Simon saw that the Spirit, the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, were given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Oh, Simon. Simon, Simon. He's a young disciple, amen. He now offers them money and says, give me some meat. Give me up there and deliver. Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you.
Hey!
Hey! I mean, are you serious? Whoa! May your money perish with you. Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money, you have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God.
Wow.
Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin.
Wow. That's a hot new time. Come on.
Yeah, if you had this kind of discipling time, you may say it was abusive. What does it say in verse 24? Then Simon answered, "Pray the Lord for me that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Okay, family, guard the truth. I'm talking about miraculous gifts today because this is important, because here's the thing that you have to get from this passage. Very important. Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. So if the miraculous gifts were given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, could they still be here today?
No, the apostles aren't dead.
I mean, are the apostles still around?
No.
Is not the Bible written through the apostles and prophets?
Yes.
So someone who tells you today that they're a prophet and apostle, are they a true teacher or a false teacher?
False.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Some of you are looking at me like, whoa, this is a new teaching? Some of you are looking at me like, this is a new teaching? I just listened to a prophet last week. Guys, this is very serious. This is very serious because, and I have to close here. You have to understand. If Philip could do the miraculous gifts, then why didn't Simon the sorcerer, who became the disciple, amen, now go to Philip and say, give me the ability? Philip, who had the miraculous gifts by the apostles, could not pass it on.
That's right.
Are you with me what I'm saying here? So, if I am an apostle and I give faith the ability to heal, he now goes and heals Tony.
Hey, come on.
You with me here? Now, can faith transfer the gift of healing to Tony?
No.
He cannot. Only I can give the gift of healing because I'm an apostle. No, you know what I mean. I'm not an apostle. I'm just saying, for the sake of the argument. You get what I'm saying? Okay, you get what I'm saying? So what's the issue here? Once I die, and once faith dies, it's over. 1 Corinthians 13.
Come on.
All right. Come now, quickly, hurry. Get over there. 1 Corinthians 13, let's see what the Bible says. Guys, this is the most detrimental false teaching here in Nigeria. And this is the reason why I'm laying it out. You know, I was so grateful. A great friend of mine, Endurance, came out today. Where's Eddie? Eddie, there he is. That's Eddie. Raise your hand, Eddie. That's Eddie right there. Amen. Eddie came out to Bible Talk two Thursdays ago. And you know, it was cool because he came out to Bible Talk and he's like, yeah, you know, I got a little time. I got, you know, an hour or so that I gotta get back to mainland. And we did a Bible Talk on are the miraculous gifts still present today. After the Bible Talk, he's like, listen, I can't come this upcoming week because I'm out of town, but next week I'm coming to your church. I want to become a member. Whatever I gotta do, I'm coming. He's already studied the Bible. He wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, this is one of the biggest false teachings here in Nigeria. But look at Satan's plan. If he can get you away from this and tell you to go to a prophet, then guess what? You now get away from this. Guys, this is very scary. What does the Bible say here in 1 Corinthians 13?
Show us, bro.
Verse 8. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Perfection, there's only two things that are perfect. Jesus and the Word of God. Which means that, which one is it? Is it Jesus or is it the Word of God? Why? Because the word perfection in the Greek is neuter gender. Right? This is neuter gender. I am masculine gender. My wife is feminine gender. This is neuter gender. This is neuter gender. So what does this mean? The perfection, it wasn't talking about Jesus, so what was it talking about? The Word of God. When the Word of God comes, everything else ends.
Come on.
We've received everything we need, thoroughly equipped for life and doctrine.
Yes.
Are you with me here? Can I get an amen? Amen. And if you don't know it, you better get together with the person who invited you on out. Because you are being led astray.
Yeah.
Let's close here in Acts chapter 2.
Come on.
You know, the other false teaching, and I'm going to close with this, is how are you saved? Yeah, they said bring it every day, so I'm pulling all the stops. I gotta pull. I may never see you again. So
come on, bro.
I'm laying it out. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, it talks about what salvation is. Now, mind you, when people think of salvation, what scripture do they go to? Romans 10:9. If you confess with your heart and believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you'll be saved. Is that true?
No.
Well, let's think. Is it true that you need to continue to keep Jesus as Lord of your life? Yes. But who is that written to? Is that written to a non-Christian? Or is that written to people in Rome who are already Christians?
Christians.
Really?
Yes.
So people are taking scriptures that are read, that are written to Christians as if they're written to non-Christians.
Absolutely.
Oops. Guys, this is very important. Doesn't Romans 6 say that all of us were baptized into Christ?
Yeah.
So if Romans 6 says you have to be baptized into Christ, Romans 10 is talking about confess. Does it mention repentance here too?
No.
So then, I guess all I have to do is just believe and I'm good to go?
No.
He's talking about, he's not talking about how to get saved, it's how to stay saved.
Yeah.
I got to continue to confess Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But let's see what the Bible says in Acts. Acts is the history book of the New Testament.
That's right.
So if we want to know how non-Christians became Christians, this is where we need to look. Man, you see the sound equipment is rough today.
Come on, bro. Sorry about
that. There we go. It's okay. I appreciate our AV team. It's not their fault. We're just working with what the hotel gives us. So I thank God for the AV team and the great job. Give it up for the AV team, amen, guys. Well, what does the Bible say here? In Acts chapter 2, you have all these Jews, and they're all there, and literally, do they all believe in God? Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
They all believe in God. They actually came to Jerusalem for the Pentecost.
Yeah.
But do they believe in Jesus?
Ooh.
No, they didn't understand Jesus. So what happens? In Acts chapter 2, Peter now addresses the crowd, and he says something to them. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Okay, so what do we see here? Jesus is from God.
Mm-hmm.
Our sins put him on the cross, and he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
That is the gospel message. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. But is that it?
No.
No, there's a lot more black ink here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he goes on to share and actually quotes about how David predicted the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And then look what he says in verse 36. Now, this is very important. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to look onto this one. Verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified," because of our sin, "both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were what? Cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Because they're Jewish brothers, right? They're all Jews. But they're not brothers in Christ. They're brothers in being Jews. And it says, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Just pray a prayer."
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
Okay. Peter replied, "Speak in tongues."
No.
Doesn't say that either. How about just go to church?
No.
What does the Bible say here, Cameron? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." This is very important. The Baptist church teaches that you have to get baptized too. But they don't teach you that you have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
They believe that you pray for God, come into my life right now, forgive me of my sins. Amen, I'm a Christian. Woo! Now, 3 months from now, when you're ready and have done some discipleship studies, you can now be baptized.
Huh.
Is that right?
No.
You become a lawyer and then you learn what it means to become a lawyer? Guys, it says repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. How many churches teach that baptism is necessary for the forgiveness of sins? Does Winners Chapel teach that?
No.
Does Redeem teach that?
No.
House on the Rock teach that?
No.
Harvesters teach that?
No.
Should I keep going down?
Yes.
Guys, this is very, very serious.
Right.
I'm talking about, this is millions of souls.
Absolutely.
That have been taught things that are not biblical. This is why I gave up a medical career. This is why my wife gave up her law practice. To leave the U.S., go into the ministry, and come here to Africa. There is no, we're getting no money from this. The church does not pay our salary.
Come on.
This is for free.
Come on, bro.
You do not pay our salary. There is nothing in this for us.
Come on.
That to just preach the word of God.
Amen.
I don't want your money.
Amen.
I just want the truth.
Yes.
Right.
Come on, bro.
We're part of an international fellowship. They take care of us. And make it, we work because we're family.
Yeah.
But a lot of preachers today, hey. How many times? If it was this time in the service, you'd have been asked for contribution about 6 times. And then they had the music. And they got the music playing. And you're like, how many pockets do I have to start putting out money? You know exactly what I'm talking about. What does the Bible say? It says here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you before? When you get baptized, you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, all are far off, for all the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, what? Save yourselves. Well, hold on a second. Were they saved then?
No.
But, okay, hang on a second. Did they believe?
Yes.
Did they want to repent?
Yes.
Were they baptized yet?
No.
Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I look forward to the day where it's not just William getting baptized. How about 3 souls getting baptized?
Amen.
How about 30 souls getting baptized?
Wow.
How about 300 souls getting baptized? Can you imagine what 3,000 would have been like?
Yeah.
You might as well get comfortable because it's about to be a serious service. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the
apostles.
All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions good they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen.
Family, that's the truth. The question, though, is can you handle it? I shared a lot with you today. Some of you are looking at me like,
damn.
Like you've seen the third coming of Jesus. Some of you are looking at me like this. Maybe you're the false teacher. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, preach the word, bro. And some of you are just asleep. But the good news is simply this. God loves you so much that he brought you here today. And I'm honored to be with you. I'm honored to be able to share God's word with you. And all I ask you to do this morning, all I ask you to do with all my heart, is to sit down with the person that brought you on out. You've got to acknowledge the truth in your life. You've got to see where you fall short. Because if you don't, you're just opposing God. And you can't win. You got to hold to the truth. You can't allow the challenges of life to steal your faith, to steal your joy. You can't allow the persecution of the world who tries to tell you that what the Bible says is wrong and what they're saying is right make you fumble the truth. And guys, we got to guard it. This is the truth that the Bible has stated. If you don't guard this, you're going to neglect it. There's a reason why all these churches are able to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. You know why? Because no one's guarding the truth.
Yeah.
And it can't just be one person preaching on Sunday morning. If you're a guest here this morning, you've come to a family. You've come to a congregation of ministers. Every single person who's a disciple of Jesus Christ in this room is being trained to teach the Bible.
Yes.
Because that's what disciples do.
Absolutely.
Disciples are fishers of men. So you don't have to sit down with me. You can sit down with any one of the Bible Talk leaders that invited you out. You can sit down with even their assistants or other people, and they can sit down and teach you the Bible.
Yes.
My friends, this morning, ask yourself, where are you? Can you handle the truth? Because if you're not holding on to the truth, you're holding on to the lies of the devil. Thank you very much.